You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Monday show. There are several breaking news stories, and they're somewhat related to the last week's press conference. Obviously, President Trump is upset that you have people in the government leaking classified information that really should not be leaked, and it's a crime to do so. And the question is, where are these people? Are they in a State Department? Are they in the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency, the National Security Agency, or the other intelligence agencies of the Department of Defense? Where, oh, where are the leakers? Now, I'm sure if you're a leaker, you try to make sure that it can't get back to you. And reporters have to protect their sources if they're going to remain sources. But you have a problem today, and that's the National Security Agency. And this is something I caution all leakers to keep in mind. We have the invasion of the American citizens' privacy by the United States government. It is really a secret surveillance and spying state that we have, or what some have described accurately as a turnkey tyranny. And I've warned you in repeated shows over the years that all it takes is someone that doesn't follow the law to turn it on the American people. Now, I don't mean necessarily the president. We can have a state within a state, what's been called the deep state. That's been the phrase of last week and continuing into this week.
The deep state.
What we're talking about is government bureaucrats that are leaking the information. And that is a crime, and they can get fired, and they can be prosecuted, and they should be prosecuted. Leaking has always been a problem in the government. It gets out of hand when the leaks could endanger foreign agents, sensitive diplomatic discussions, and the overall national security of the United States. They should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law, whether they're a lowly secretary or higher up in an agency or a department. So I agree with Mr. Trump, the leaking has to stop. But you got to make examples of it. That's why I suggested in a previous show, who has been the major leaker by far, and that's Hillary Clinton. Until you, Mr. President, instruct Attorney General Sessions to appoint an independent prosecutor to go after Hillary Clinton's many crimes in the mishandling of classified documents as well as public corruption, this problem will continue, and it might even get worse. Now, some good news is, and this is something that President had to do to get this, to get Mike Flynn off the news, and that's former National Security Advisor, is to appoint a new National Security Advisor. And I said all along, there's a long list of people that could fill that job. And I've been noticing, listening to talk radio, there's been a big push amongst those in talk radio that they want John Bolton. I'm all for that. I have no problem with him, except, and this is where the president, when he interviews him, has to ask some pointed questions. If Bolton is truly a neocon and he's denied denied he is, and I'll accept his word, then I think that automatically disqualifies him, even if he's perfectly competent and ideal for the job. I'm not pushing any candidate here. I have no preference, and I've said Donald Trump should appoint the person that he wants, as presidents do. But it is a very important position, and ideally you would like someone that has both diplomatic and intelligence experience. Now, we've had a lot of candidates that are generals or admirals, but I don't think their strong suit is diplomacy or intelligence. Now, let me quickly qualify that. Once you get to a lieutenant general or even a general, three or four stars, you got to be diplomatic. But it's very much at that level, generals, admirals issue orders and expect them to be followed. That's quite different when you have to coordinate amongst various agencies, where you need not only coordination, you need cooperation, and diplomacy is essential, even if you're the national security advisor. Now, maybe that wasn't Mike Flynn's strong suit. He did have a reputation for speaking his mind, being very direct, very much like Mr. Trump. And in certain quarters of the intelligence community, he wasn't liked. I understood that. And maybe he wasn't the best fit. I don't think we really have heard the full story on Mike Flynn that was asked to resign by Mr. Trump. And why I say that is this. I'm not buying the administration's story until they release completely, declassify and release completely, both the audio tapes and the transcripts of General Flynn's discussions with the Russian ambassador. Supposedly, the press has that information. It's been leaked. It's time to let the American people make their own informed and judgment. Now, most American people don't care about this. I understand. Even foreign policy, they immediately are switching the channel. But when we're talking the national defense, the national security of this nation, it's important that we don't have a bunch of bureaucrats setting people up so they are pulled out at the administration. And again, there are a long line of people that can do the job, at least on paper. You never know until they actually do it. But today, President Trump appointed Lieutenant General H.R. McMasters, three-star Army general, to be his national security advisor, as well as the deputy that was already there that Mike Flynn brought in, Kellogg, will be his deputy. I don't know much about the general, but so what? If Trump is happy with him, that's all that really matters, and Keith Kellogg will be his deputy. And that was apparently a sticking point, because President Trump wanted somebody else that declined the job, an admiral. And one of the sticking points is the admiral wanted his own people, which is understandable. You want people that you can trust. So do most Americans care? No. Who cares? I'll tell you who cares. All the bureaucrats in the national security and intelligence community and the State Department. Those are the people that care. And they are bureaucrats. Some are general officers, generals or admirals, and they have varying degrees of experience as well as education. Notice that General Petraeus was not selected. I didn't think he was going to be, for the simple reason he was forced to resign as Central Intelligence Agency director when he was working for Obama. I think he was forced to resign for the simple reason he wouldn't go along with President Obama's story regarding Benghazi. And I am sort of glad that Petraeus didn't get it, because I really thought the general got off a little easy. Remember, he was having an affair with a lady that was writing a biography of him, and let her looked at some classified information. Now, keep in mind, she also had a security clearance, but he wasn't supposed to show her that information. I bring it up because we seem to have a dual standard. One standard for the elites, especially the higher you are, and another standard for the average Joe, your enlisted or junior officers. And I bring that up because that's why you need to prosecute Hillary Clinton, her staff, immediate staff, and her husband for their many, many crimes. And if you don't do it, this will continue and continue and continue. You need to make many examples here. Otherwise, it's just going to continue. Now, there is reports, I should say one report that's being echoed, that one of the leakers has been found. Guess where it is? The White House. Do I know it's true? No. I'm just repeating a news story that is coming out of Got News. She's a deputy chief of staff, works for Rents Priebus. Katie Walsh is her name. She apparently was a never-Trumper, which is interesting. If I were Trump, I would never hire a never-Trumper, period. That would be immediate disqualification. I assume that Rince Priebus, the White House chief of staff, hired her. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm pretty sure if he's the White House chief of staff, he usually gets to pick his deputies. And one of the deputies that he picked was this lady. And the report is they're trying to nail her for leaking the information to her friend that she has at the New York Times. Well, good luck doing that. It would take some nerve, I would say, and some foolishness to do this. That's why I'm not saying at this time that the story is either true or not, but they're going to have to. The White House is going to have to comment upon this because it is getting attention and will get more attention. So maybe the one of the leakers is right in the White House and got news, published the story on it. They call her supposedly Madam President in the White House, says a senior aide. That's whoever the senior aide is. And it's not a compliment. No, I don't think it would be a compliment. And I don't think if I were Katie Walsh, she would want them to say that. So this is a story that I think may or may not have legs. Depends what the White House is going to say on this. Obviously, she could be fired or she could keep her job and they could deny it. You see, you're getting a little, how should I say this? Office politics creeping in and people wanting to get rid of people by going after maybe the subordinates. If you don't like Rince Priebus, and I'm not a fan of his, I'll make very, very clear here. But Trump likes him, and that's that. I always say this. You got one boss, and if you please the boss, you keep your job. However, the boss finds out you're not loyal or you're saying negative things about him behind your back or discussing with people behind the back, and that comes out. You've already heard President Trump say if what Podesta was saying about Clinton, if he was Podesta's boss, he'd fire him. Well, he might have an opportunity to fire his chief of staff. Now, so far, if you believe the last press conference, Rince Priebus is doing an outstanding job. The only problem is he's dealing with a lot of fake news as opposed to good news. We'll see. And this brings up an important point. Donald Trump, who are his supporters? Is it the Republican Party? No, not really. Even though Rince Priebus was chairman of the Republican National Committee and I think was instrumental in helping Donald Trump get elected. Donald Trump is up against, first and foremost, the donor-owner class, the people that have the money, own the country, run the country, buy the politicians, buy the protesters, and want their way. And they will have their way. And many of them are very, very wealthy, wealthier than Donald Trump by far. So that is his probably number one enemy, opponent, however you want to describe it, the donor-owner class, the people that own the country, own the corporations. We're talking the top half of 1%. Most of them are billionaires, and the people that work for them are multi-millionaires. So they make big campaign contributions to both political parties. And their number one agenda item is they want cheap, compliant labor. That's what they want. It can be illegal or legal. They don't really care as long as it's cheap. And that's their number one demand. They're not asking. They're demanding it and they're expecting it. And they don't care whether it's from the Democratic Party, the Republican Party. While they would prefer it would be legal, they don't really care. So that's his number one opponent. And yes, they probably politely but firmly told him the facts of life. That will never be in the media, never will be disclosed, at least as long as Donald Trump is president. But the word has gone out. He has been spoken to. You can either go along or cooperate or we will ruin you. And they've been trying to do that through their allies in both political parties and in big lie media, namely the ABC, CBS, NBC, and the three major newspapers today, New York Times, Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, and others. Big lie media that's putting out propaganda, so-called fake news. It's propaganda. And they're trying to delegitimize Donald Trump, ultimately with the objective of impeaching and convicting him. That is their long-term goal. And part of that is the so-called deep state, the bureaucracy, people that are career government employees, both at the GS level as well as the executive level, that over time Donald Trump, by appointing his own people, will hopefully clean that out, but it's difficult because they're not going to walk around with a sign. Some are very clear in who they support, and they're against Donald Trump. It's no doubt that you got a couple of problems here. It's not only one party. You would expect a Democrat to be against Trump, but you have Republicans that are also against Trump. They were the Never Trumpers. But it's really the establishment. It's Donald Trump versus the establishment. Now, Donald Trump understands this, but you need to understand this. It would be different if Donald Trump was truly the candidate of the Republican Party. He wasn't. He's an outsider. It was a hostile takeover of the Republican Party. He wasn't expected to get the nomination, and he also wasn't expected to win. Now, I did expect him to get the nomination and win, but I wasn't for him. I wasn't against him. But if I only have two choices, one is Donald Trump and the other is Hillary Clinton, I'm going to pick Donald Trump all day long. He is the lesser of two evils, but he's not my cup of tea. I want someone that truly believes in a representative republic and truly believes in limited government and wants to downsize this government, and that's not Donald Trump. It isn't. So Donald Trump is facing a lot of opposition, a lot of opposition. He has some allies that work to get him elected, but he has to watch out. He has to fill some key government positions, and you better believe some of the appointees will not be Trump supporters. They won't be. They might say they are, but they won't be. Now, some became very visible that they were never Trumpers. And that's why I say if someone is truly was a never Trumper, I would not hire him if I were Mr. Trump. I think you're just asking for trouble. But you have a lot of positions that you have to fill. They're total roughly 4,000. And the people that are made secretaries, heads of departments and agencies, they want their own people. You know, if I were appointed, I will not be, and not seeking it, to a secretary position, I would want to bring my own people. No one that has success in the business world or in the military or in any organization, he has some key people that he wants to bring in. That's understandable, and it's a reasonable request. Doesn't mean he's going to appoint everyone under him, but some key people has to. He has to have trust in people. That's why it's somewhat disconcerting, if this story is true, that this Katie Welch was a never-Trumper and has been leaking information to the New York Times. And they've been testing to see what information she leaks. You see, one way to catch a spy, a mole, is to give them information where they're the only ones that have the information. That's how you catch a spy. And apparently that type of situation was being, or operation was being run against Katie Welch. So if suddenly you read it in the New York Times, if that's her contact, or the Washington Post, or on the television networks, and she was the only one that had access to it, bingo, you have your leaker. Maybe. Because there's usually several people that have seen the information. Obviously the president, at least one or two people under him, you got to be careful. And President Trump has directed the FBI to investigate this. You can't have people close to the president that he cannot trust. Trust is essential. And supposedly that's the reason Michael Flynn was requested to resign. I don't know if it was justified or not. I think there's politics involved in this. Mike Pence was obviously upset. He thought he was misled. Whether that was deliberately or not, I don't know. But we're really not going to get to the bottom of it or close to it until, Mr. President, you declassify those telephone conversations and release the total transcripts. Let the American people decide. The reason I say this, it seems that the issue is, did Michael Flynn discuss with the Russian ambassador sanctions? Well, to quote President Clinton, it depends on the meaning of is. In this case, it depends on the meaning of discuss. I have no doubt it was mentioned, or I have some doubt, but I'd like to see the transcript, because Mike Flynn did apologize to Mike Pence. And I've said in at least two previous shows, I think what happened is Mike Flynn knew he's going to be recorded, didn't think he did anything wrong. He was just doing his job as President Trump says, and he simply forgot that the Russian ambassador brought this up and what he said. And I buy it for the simple reason, if you're making many, many phone calls, you can't recall the details. Donald Trump, President Trump, had a problem recalling the details in terms of electoral votes. Said he had more than any Republican candidate since Reagan. It's obviously wrong. And that's poor staff work, but the staff might have not known that President Trump was going to bring this up. The only way Mike Flynn could guarantee that he didn't speak with the Russian ambassador about sanctions if he had his own recording of it as well as a transcript. Mike Flynn made a mistake. He apologized for the mistake, and his thanks was he got kicked out. Would you want to work in the White House? I don't know about that one. Now, there are a lot of ambitious people that want to make their bones, if you will, by being successful in the White House. It's a stepping stone. It always has been. We'll find out if this lady, the deputy chief of staff, works for Priebus. It's a key person, folks. The president's time is valuable, so it's literally schedule to the second. You got to keep them on time, and there are a lot of people that want to see the president, so it means long hours, returning phone calls, dealing with a lot of people with egos that think they should see the president, and the deputy chief of staff is a key person. However, if she is slipping, I don't think she's sending documents, but if she's telling tales out of school, first of all, she's foolish, especially if it's the New York Times. And apparently someone has pointed the finger at her. Now, here's the problem. Let's say you're trying to get rid of this lady and she's done absolutely nothing wrong. In other words, she's not the leaker, it's somebody else. Let's say it's you that are a leaker that want to cast blame on someone else so they don't look at you. You see, that's a rather poisonous work environment. I'm not saying that's the situation, but that's the impression I'm getting. There are some people here that are, the knives are out. They're out to get people. And there are always going to be cliques, groups, and you may be in the in-group or the out-group, and they're throwing stones. It's office politics is how I describe it. But they're playing for keeps here, and it can damage your reputation. And when we're talking leaks that are criminal acts, it could cost you a lot of money just defending yourself if you're innocent. So I don't know if this lady is the leak or not. But the press is on it, and I think we're going to hear more. You know, initially, we heard very little about Mike Flynn, and it got bigger and bigger story. I think that's what we have here. It's another, and the press will jump upon this, because the false narrative big lie media are putting out is what? The White House is in chaos. Now, I want to expand it to a third story, and that's the buzzword of last week, this week, and probably the following week is the deep state. We have in this country, thanks to the Patriot Act, as well as President Bush and President Obama, a secret surveillance and spying state. And they're spying on you. Actually, they're spying on everyone in the world. But what's new since George Bush and continuing through this administration is the National Security Agency is collecting. Note, I said collecting, not intercepting. All the communications of the American people that they can get their hands on. And in other words, when I'm broadcasting this show, guess what? The National Security Agency will have a copy of it. When I podcast it, they will have a copy of it. But it also means any communication that any American is doing over the internet as well as over telephones, the National Security Agency has a copy of it. They are collecting it by making sure that why your email goes to whoever you attend it, a copy of it goes to the National Security Agency where it's stored on a hard drive, on a server, and they have software where if you are ever a target of an investigation, what they do is they aggregate all the information they have because it's spread over many, many hard drives and servers, and then it's aggregated through asking queries into a dossier. And then they assign intelligence analysts to figure out what's going on. Who does this person talk to? They also have copies of your financial records, your bank statements, who you're doing business with. If you're shopping online, they probably have that. If you're buying insurance and paying, they have that. They have a lot of information. Ladies and gentlemen, they have too much information, and they are invading your rights under the United States Constitution, namely the right to privacy under the Fourth Amendment. I always have to say this because there are many naive people. They, that are not technically savvy. I'm sort of semi. No one's an expert. There's just too much to know. But I'm not, how should I say, I'm not a newbie here. I have a lot of both programming and computer experience. My point is this. Ladies and gentlemen, your private information the government has, it's spying on you. Now, there are procedures in place to try to protect you from prying eyes, but employees are employees, and they will try to get information on people. The danger is you get someone that thinks he's above the law. It can be abused. Now, I've heard, and I always have to repeat this, some will say, well, I'm a law-abiding citizen. My life is an open book. If they need this information to capture a terrorist, I have no problem with that. Or if they need this information to find out who the leaker is, I have no problem with that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have a big problem with that. That's a police state. You're giving up your rights, your liberties under the United States Constitution. And until George Bush was president, a Republican, the National Security Agency was mainly spying on the opponents, the enemies of the United States. In other words, foreigners abroad. You see, we need a National Security Agency. We need a Central Intelligence Agency and other intelligence entities because we face people that don't mean as good. And we spy on government officials, high military leaders, to try to understand what are their intentions, what are they planning, what are their strengths, weaknesses, what's the force structure, how many military they have, what armaments they have. It goes on every single day of the week. We do it and other nations do it to us. It's a given, folks. Spying and surveillance is going on around the world. But now what's different, starting with Bush after the attack of 9/11, the National Security Agency was let loose on the American people. The reason, justification was, well, we need this information to try to prevent terrorist attacks, to identify who the terrorists are. Well, you can do that without invading the privacy of the American people. Ask Bill Binney. He was a whistleblower that when he saw what the government was doing, blew the whistle, and they went after him. Bill Binney worked for the NSA for over 35 years at a very high level, and he blew the whistle on him, and so did others, and they went after the whistleblowers. Legitimate whistleblowers went after him. They weren't able to prosecute him because what was the Bush administration doing? They were violating the law. They didn't have any warrants. See, you're supposed to get a warrant. If you have suspicion of someone doing criminal activity, you should get a warrant. This is like a general warrant, going after anything and everything that they find. And it continues, and it's been expanded by President Obama. And now President Obama, just before he left in January, the NSA information that they have was closely held, mainly in the National Security Agency, with strict protocols how to handle communications when you have American citizens on one end of the communications, especially if they're in the United States. Now that information is being distributed to many agencies. The number I hear is at least 11, 17, who knows what the number is. What's the problem? The more people that have access, legitimate access, to that information, you're increasing the probability of, first of all, leakers getting it that give it to the news, but also spies. People spying in the United States. You know, everyone is focusing in on, well, these are Obama or Clinton moles, career government people that support either Clinton or Obama that want to damage Donald Trump, and they're leaking it. We also have enemy sleepers in one or more of those agencies, spies, deep spies, moles. Now, they don't send their reports to the New York Times, Washington Post, or the network, CNN, whoever. They send it whoever's hiring them. And sometimes it's just for money. Sometimes, a lot of the times, they're doing it for money. The Russians, the Communist Chinese, the North Koreans, the Islamic Republic of Iran, they have money and they're willing to pay for it. Now, occasionally you get someone that's ideological, an idealist, that thinks he's doing right by giving it to the enemies to protect the American people. But mainly it's for money. And we've had people in the CIA that were spies, and the FBI and the Department of State. Actually, I could give you a longer list. If you go back in history, you had communist spies. Most of them were working for the Soviet Union. Some were for Israel. Some for other governments. It goes on every single day. That's why there are laws on the books that make this criminal. If you're handling classified information, you need to take proper precautions. And people are trusting you, and before you even get hired, they do background checks. I've handled classified information both when I was in the military and when I work for an aerospace firm. And periodically, they'll update it. Now, I'm out of the business, so I don't have a security clearance anymore. But there are literally hundreds of thousands of people in the government that have access to classified information. And if they see anything that's embarrassing or criminal, they might be tempted to leak it. And apparently, if we can believe a New York Times, I believe it's in the New York Times. I'm getting a little confused. They're kind of being blurred together. There are multiple sources here. It's not just one person. It's several. So I hope the FBI catches several of these people, but it looks like we might have one right in the White House. I'm not jumping the gun on that because I'd like to see several other news organizations confirm that. Because one dirty little secret is, some reporters only have one source. Ideally, you want two, three, or more. But some big-name reporters, if they have confidence in an individual, in other words, he's been reliable in the past where they've had more than one source, will publish stories based on one source. It's somewhat risky, but it's been done by famous writers. Now, the bigger picture is this. Donald Trump, in my mind, until proven wrong, is a non-interventionist. What I mean by that, he doesn't want to be policeman of the world, have the United States be policeman of the world. He doesn't want the United States to intervene in country after country, engaged in nation building. And that poses a threat to who? The Central Intelligence Agency and the military. If you're a believer in the American empire and want to expand it and police the world and intervene in country after country, and the neocons are a perfect example of that, Senator McCain, Senator Lindsey Graham, and others, you don't want Donald Trump to be president. And they didn't want Donald Trump to be president. And a lot in the National Review, the writers didn't want. They were never Trumpers. They want an active, aggressive foreign policy. And you have him on the television. Good example is Charles Krauthammer, Dr. Charles Krauthammer at Fox. Used to be a Democrat. Most of the neocons, especially the intellectuals, the policy analysts, commentators, they came from the Democratic Party. They're progressives. But they didn't like the direction that the lying lunatic left was taking the Democratic Party. So they left, became Republicans in my mind in name only. But they're still progressives. They're still interventionists, both domestically and abroad. And they want the American empire. I'm against that. I'm more in the George Washington, since it's President's Day. President George Washington was a non-interventionist himself. Trade with other countries, fine. But we shouldn't engage and have alliance with, in particular, European countries at the time. In other words, mind our own business, don't intervene in other countries, and we can have peace and prosperity. However, once you start intervening in other countries, and we have a long history of doing that, our history, foreign policy, has been one of intervention, again and again and again. If you want, in my mind, a good book to read, although it's a little bit dated, is Pat Buchanan's A Republic, Not an Empire, that gives you that history, and it'll open some of your eyes. Now, I was already a non-interventionist, but note, I didn't say isolationist. The United States has never been an isolationist country, and because you're non-interventionist doesn't mean you're an isolationist. I'm big for free trade and having bilateral trade agreements with country after country after country, because Washington believed, as do I believe, as you do more and more business with people, it's less likely you'll go to war with them. And you see, NATO was trying to defend Europe against a Soviet Union communist threat, started in the 50s. But Eisenhower, that's President Eisenhower, it's President's Day, President Eisenhower, tall President Kennedy, I think in 1961, that it's about time that Europe defend itself. because it was costing Americans, you, the American people, a lot of money to defend Europe against a potential Russian or Soviet Union attack. I think it's long past. They have more people. They're a prosperous nation. They should be responsible for their own defense, period. I'm for gradually pulling out of NATO. Give them 5 years or 4 years to, it's now your responsibility to defend your country, Western, as well as the region, the European Union, against a potential Russian threat. Do the interventionists want this? No. How dare he do that? You see, the United States is making more and more commitments to nations to defend them in case they're attacked. Defend themselves. They have a prosperous economy. Spend some of their own tax money on military expenditures to defend their country. France, Germany, the United Kingdom, and other nations that are part of NATO should do that. They're not pulling their fair share. And I would pull out. That is an alliance that made a lot of sense for 50 years. But once the Russian Empire fell in 1989, Russia has nuclear weapons, understood. But in terms of population, in terms of production, the one thing they have going for them is oil, natural resources. Germany is a powerhouse in terms of exporting goods and services, a growing, prosperous economy. It's time that they rearm dramatically and defend themselves against a potential Russian attack. The same with France. Instead, all the sucker here is the United States. Let the American taxpayers defend Europe as well as the Middle East. That is what's called a non-interventionist point of view. That is a minority view, but it's in direct confrontation with who? The interventionists, both in the Democratic and the Republican parties. That's why the so-called deep state government employees are leaking information to embarrass and ultimately bring down the presidency of Donald Trump. That's what he's up against. And a lot of the military also are interventionists, and that's what Donald Trump better start understanding. Now, I'm not painting with too broad a brush, but there's some military generals that are interventionists, and they're not all neoconservatives. Many of them are Republicans. The Bush administration, a new world order. It's the that kind of arrogance. We know best. Do as I say. Empires ultimately fall. They ultimately decline and fall because they overreach. I'm bringing this up because it's a more higher level view of what's going on in terms of the leaks. The deep state is a state within a state. Usually it's in the military and the intelligence communities. And they don't wear signs saying, I'm a member of the deep state. They don't have name tags that say, member of the deep state. No, they're bureaucrats, civilian personnel, as well as military personnel. And at the root of this is their philosophy in terms of foreign policy, as well as government, whether they're favor, and that's one of the tests. If they're big for being policemen of the world, no one appointed us or elected us to be policemen of the world. And you better believe that the people in the countries we intervene in are not happy that we're doing it, for the most part. We have become a threat to many nations and feared by many nations and deeply resented by many nations, the people of these countries, beyond being just an ugly America. Oh, they fear us, but they're not our friends anymore, and many of our allies don't trust us anymore because we don't live up to our commitments. So read Pat Buchanan's book. I'll give him a plug. And there's a new revised edition out several years ago. You need to see the history. You need to understand the CIA is the president's private army, and what is their main focus? It's overthrowing other governments, regimes. And now apparently you have some rogue people in these, whether it's the CIA or other agencies, that are trying to direct it at the Trump administration. Doesn't surprise me, because when you cross that line and directed President Bush, the National Security Agency, to spy on the American people, this is the inescapable consequence. And you have people that won't follow the protocols and will leak it and damage people. You need to be very careful what's going on here. And reputations will be ruined. People will lose their savings to try to defend themselves against these charges. It's a police state, and that's what happens in police states. They ruin people. Sometimes they kill people. torture people. It's not an America that I want, and it's not an America you should want. But you can't have an American empire and still have a constitutional representative republic. They're mutually exclusive, and we're way down that road of an American empire. Just look at the number of bases, military bases we have throughout the world, and the money we're spending keeping stockpiles, pre-positioning so-called assets, armaments, supplies that you need to fight a war. It's dangerous. It is a dangerous world. But the real danger is you wake up one day and you finally realize the Constitution has been torn up, your rights have been shredded, your representatives have been bought and paid for, the protesters have been bought and paid for, the leakers have been bought and paid for, and the big lie media has been bought and paid for, and you are now a serf. You're a cog. It happens, folks, and it can and will happen in the United States if we don't do something about it. This is a very dangerous situation here. Yes, people are trying to take down the Trump administration. Will they be successful? I don't know. But they're going to take their shot, and the propaganda will continue, the lies will continue, and they'll even claim they're protecting the First Amendment by spreading the lies. No, they're undermining the very Constitution, the Bill of Rights, that gives them the right of a free press and assembly. We live in interesting times, but also dangerous times. This nation is very much divided. It's been politicized by Obama. Obama, in my mind, was the great divider. He divided this country. He undermined. In my mind, he was a subversive president. And as he was going out the door, he made sure that the information that the National Security Agency had was now in the hands of many, many, many more organizations. In other words, he guaranteed more and more leaks. He also guaranteed that the spies that are there for whatever nation have an increased opportunity of getting that information. Donald Trump better wake up. Better reverse some of that. Now, I need to quickly say one of the problems with the intelligence community is what's called stovepiping, where one agency has the information but doesn't share it. I'm not for stovepiping, but that is a danger in all organizations, corporations, military, as well as intelligence community. They had the information, but it didn't get to the right person. It's protecting turfs, and that's what bureaucracies do. They want to expand their empire, more people, more budget, but they don't really want to share information. Now, hopefully, a president will force them, but you have to be careful how you do this. There are risks involved, because if you don't share it, that's a weakness that will be exploited by opponents of this country, whether it's Russia, Communist China, or the Islamic Republic of Iran. So what we're seeing today is the American people and their champion, President Trump, very much against the American elites of both the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, the bureaucracy, the government employees and departments and agencies, as well as big lie media, the television networks, the newspapers, as well as the owner-donor class that really calls the shots, makes contributions to both political parties, and makes sure the politicians stay bought. First are bought, stay bought, and now we're seeing across the country paid for, bought protesters and the allies in big lie media. Sounds like a conspiracy. Ladies and gentlemen, there have always been conspiracies. Don't let that scare you away. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. No. Go to any courtroom in the country, and there are criminals conspiring to steal your stuff or kill you. It goes on at various levels across this country and all countries. Conspiracies are not new. It only takes two people that want something and are willing to break the law to do it. And that's an awful lot of people. So we need an intelligence agency. We need a CIA. We need a national security agency. We need a defense intelligence agency. But they need to be responsive to civilian control. And what's key here, we need civilians that enforce that control that will not break the law for whatever reason. We need people of character, integrity, running and working throughout the government. But it doesn't take many rotten apples to ruin and endanger the national security, which gets me back to Hillary Clinton. Mr. Trump, your supporters are expecting you to make that phone call to Attorney General Jeff Sessions and instruct him to appoint an independent prosecutor to investigate the activities of former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, her husband, the Clinton Foundation, and her immediate staff. And the clock is ticking. There's less than a year in terms of the statute of limitations. It runs out roughly in mid-February. That's what the Clintons are counting on. That's what the Clinton Foundation is counting on. That is what the Democratic Party is counting on. You need to go on the offensive. And the way you stop the leaks, one way to get their attention and stop the leaks and change the subject, is to go on the offense and go after an individual that has endangered national security and is responsible for foreign governments, several foreign governments, knowing some of our best kept until she put it on her server secrets. The American people do not believe anyone is above the law, including Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, and her immediate staff and friends. Prosecutor. If the evidence is there, she will be convicted. If it isn't, she won't. Impanel a grand jury and make the case or don't make the case. But make sure you appoint a truly independent prosecutor that will take it where it goes. And Director Comey has gathered tons of evidence. What he didn't have is a Justice Department that would support him. Well, now, Mr. Trump, there is a Justice Department, or soon will be, that will support him if you give the orders. And that will slow down the establishment because they don't want nightly news about what's happening in terms of Hillary Clinton and what she did by setting up that server and having more than 2,000 classified documents at all various levels, and in turn compromising national security and destroying government documents, more than 33,000. She has broken many, many laws. An example must be set, and if it's not set, you're only asking for more and more leaks. That will slow down the interventionists. You see, the interventionists wanted Hillary Clinton. Many of the people in the intelligence community and the military and the neocons and many Republicans wanted Hillary Clinton. Why? She's an interventionist. She's a progressive interventionist. And that's why she got the big bucks. And they thought she was going to win. Well, she lost. And it's time they get over it. And they're not going to get over it until you prosecute her. Hillary Clinton lost because the American people didn't trust her. And the main reason they didn't trust her is this server and what she did to the national security of the United States and the fact that she repeatedly lied, and lied about it. It's a scandal, and it's a lesson that needs to be made if you have any chance at all of staying in power. Because once the statutes of limits run and you can't prosecute her, watch out. If you think it's bad now, wait till that happens. So you have a limited amount of time to pursue this, and your supporters want you to pursue it. Remember, lock her up. Now, I think she needs and should have a fair trial. It shouldn't be a lynch mob. She's entitled to her day in court and adequate representation. She's benefited. Her family has benefited. The Clinton Foundation has benefited. They've made millions off of this. It's corrupt. You have public corruption aspect as well as the national security aspect of this case. And the investigation supposedly is still going on. Well, it's about time that you prosecute. Appoint an independent prosecutor. Do it now. I should say, do it when you have all your team in place, as well as the judges. Doesn't have to be tomorrow or even March. But it needs to be, I would say, in the first 100 days, by May 1st. Do it on May 1st. And you will thank me, because it's going to take something like that to get these people's attention. Because if you go after Hillary Clinton, your low-level government employee is going to say, I'm not going to stick my neck out for anybody, because they'll come down on me and throw the book at me. If they're going after Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, and her immediate staff that were involved in compromising national security, then they're going to go after me, so I'm not going to leak. The big picture, what it's about, you have people, the power elite is one way to describe them. I call them the political elitist establishment. They are primarily interventionists. They offer big government, growing the state. They offer the American empire. The American people really want no part of the American empire. They're not isolationists, but they are non-interventionists. They don't want to send their sons and daughters to faraway places to die or be seriously wounded and then come back and not get treatment at the Veterans Administration. Why, the elite, their sons and daughters, go to the best school and seldom, if ever, are in the military. It's time, Mr. Trump, to back your supporters, the American people, by starting an offense against the interventionist political elitist establishment. You don't have a party that's supporting you. You have supporters, and that's it. And you better believe that the elite is trying to make sure that your supporters, at some point, no longer support you. And once that happens, you've lost. If you want to be a winner, you have to attack. You have to go on offense. And you also have to get your agenda passed quickly. And I hope you come out for a broad-based consumption tax, such as the fair tax, repeal and replace Obamacare. If you do those two things in an expedited manner, as well as enforce immigration law and build a wall, and go after the employers that are violating the law by hiring illegal aliens, you need to do it quickly. You don't have much time. And it's not just in the border or people coming here and overstaying their visas. It's in the country, all over the country. And what I'm alluding to, you need Immigration Customs Enforcement to deport all criminal illegal aliens. Note I said all, not some, not the worst, all. It's going to take years. I think at least 8 to 10 years, probably longer, because you're really dealing with 30 to 50 or 60 million. You got to keep moving. You got to be on offense all the time, because they're not going to give you breathing room. They're out to destroy you. They're out to make you a loser. They want to see you to fail. That's why I call them the lying lunatic left losers. And that's what they are, losers. And they are a minority. I would say at most 20-25%. But they're all over, they're well-funded, and they are in the government, and there is a deep state. But put them on the defense. Last week was a first step. Put the press, big lie media, on defense, and they are on defense, and they are, how should I say this? They're obsessed with Russia. Let them be obsessed with Russia. The American people don't believe this nonsense. They're losing credibility. You had it right. They don't believe them anymore. And very few people watch or buy the papers, New York Times, Washington Post, or the Los Angeles Times, and there are others in Chicago and other cities, and the major networks. They used to have a monopoly. They don't have a monopoly anymore, and they don't know how to compete. They're against competition, because where they have competition, they typically lose. They're not the best and brightest, and they're certainly not the virtuous and wisest. Far from it. They're lazy, they're incompetent, they're liars, and they will and say anything to try to convince people that they're for your own supporters when they're diametrically opposed to it. I'll have more to say about the deep state, the secret surveillance and spying state, interventionism as well as non-interventionism in future shows. So to sum up, we have now a new National Security Advisor, Lieutenant General H.R. McMasters. Keith Kellogg was kept on as deputy. We may or may not have a leak in the White House. Deputy Chief of Staff, Kate Walsh. And we're having some, who knows how many, in the bureaucracies, in the intelligence community, probably the State Department, trying to undermine President Trump. We live in interesting times. Now, my favorite song, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.